The World's Beijing correspondent Mary Kay Magstad joins us now. She happens to be right here in our Boston studio. And Mary Kay, the Chinese invitation to the Dalai Lama's people came as something of a surprise last week. What exactly do the Chinese want to talk about?
Well, I think the Chinese want to be making the gesture that they're reasonable and that they're open to talking. But what they always say before they start talking is you first have to recognize that Tibet has always been part of China. And not only that, but Taiwan has always been part of China. And the Dalai Lama, for his part, says, look, I'm willing to acknowledge that at this point you have control over Tibet and we can take it from there. But I can't say that Tibet's always been part of China because it hasn't. And they reach a stalemate and things don't usually go any further.
And then the talks end. I mean, how long do they typically last? Like an hour and then the Tibetans walk out the door?
Well, the Tibetan envoys usually stick around for a day or two and then they leave. Up until now, there have been six rounds of talks between 2002, 2006. And, you know, maybe the Tibetans will try, well, you know, can we at least talk about the idea of an autonomous region? This is what we have in mind. And the Chinese government will shut that down. And part of the reason is that what the Dalai Lama wants is a Tibetan autonomous region that includes not just the current Tibetan autonomous region, which is called that, but also ethnic Tibetan areas in other Chinese provinces, which have almost as many Tibetans as Tibet itself, and which were historically, centuries ago, part of Tibet.
So if observers like yourself know kind of like how the screenplay is going to go, why do the Tibetans, who obviously know this, why do they go to Beijing?
They have no other choice. I mean, as long as the Chinese government's willing to talk, they want to talk. You know, as long as they see a crack open in the door, they're hoping they can push it open a little further.
The Chinese government says the unrest inside Tibetan areas of China last month was orchestrated by the Dalai Lama and his government in exile. And yet the Dalai Lama is known for his commitment to nonviolence. How do the Chinese authorities make their case?
They point to a lot of sort of circumstantial associations, like that the Tibetan Youth Congress, which is not part of the Tibetan government in exile, but is a group of basically almost every Tibetan youth in exile in India joins this. And some members of the Tibetan Youth Congress have said, look, you know, we haven't ruled out using violence and actually having a revolution if that's our last resort. So the Chinese government points to statements like that made by hot-headed 19-year-olds and says, see, and they live in Dharamsala and they're sort of connected. At least they talk to the Tibetan government in exile and the Dalai Lama is connected to that. So it's him. He's doing all this. A lot of it is to try to discredit him and to discredit him not just to Chinese people, but also to Tibetan people within China's borders. I think what they don't get is that it's such a deep insult to Tibetan people that someone who they revere more than Catholics revere the Pope is being insulted and vilified the way the Chinese government does this to the Dalai Lama.
And if these stories are kind of so transparent, to what degree do ordinary Chinese whom you speak to in Beijing, in China, kind of buy the Chinese government's line on Tibet?
Most people I speak to do buy it because that's what they hear. That's all they know. That's what they're taught in school. That's what they see on the state-run media. But there is a small group of educated, urban, sort of hip Chinese who have, in their quest for some sort of spiritual meaning, found Tibetan Buddhism. You know, they've veered to Buddhism. They've decided that Tibetan Buddhism is a purer form of Buddhism. And in becoming more familiar with Tibetan Buddhism, they've become more familiar with the Dalai Lama. And one or two of them have said to me, you know, I'm really surprised. He's really not at all like what I thought he was.
That's interesting. Is there any chance, Mary Kay, that with the big, bright spotlight of the Olympics, that there may be some kind of breakthrough between Tibet and China before August?
I guess there's always a chance of something like that happening, but it's a very, very tiny chance because I think from the Chinese government's perspective, it just wants stability. It wants there to not be threats to it being able to throw a good party when the Olympics happen. It doesn't want the world focusing on Tibet. It doesn't want the world focusing on things other than what has always been the goal, which is for the Olympics to be China's coming out party, the celebration of China becoming a major power in the world again after 150 years of being, you know, as the Chinese government puts it, having been humiliated by foreign powers.
The World's China correspondent, Mary Kay Magstad. Always good to speak with you and to see you. Thank you.
Good to see you too, Marco. Thanks.